The World Show with Nikki B.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Sounds to uplift.
Sounds to uplift and inspire on The World Show with Nikki B.
Yes, talk about sounds that will uplift and inspire. And for those of you who love essential oils, get them out. You're going to need them for this chat. Welcome to The World Show. It's been so long. Jude Harpstar, welcome back.
Thank you, Nikki. It's been way too long.
It's and in fact, I was thinking about it. It was when Kaya was still in Newtown. You came with Dave Reynolds and you performed live in the studio.
Yes.
Yes. And I see you've been doing amazing things ever since then.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey. It feels like lifetimes.
Yes, that's what happens when you work with music. I speak in centuries.
Yes, exactly.
But Jude, before we get into this beautiful new release of yours, which is called Scented Soundscapes, and you're going to hear more about it. That's why I said get out your oils. But tell me a little bit about the harp. You play piano, you play harp. Which came first?
So piano came first. I basically started, well, I asked my mom when I was 4 years old if I could play the piano.
Yes.
And she thought, oh my gosh, that's really, really young. But she'll ask around.
Yes.
And so, yeah, basically I started playing when I was 5.
Wow.
And the teacher took me on because she was like, oh, she's got natural talent. I can see it'll work. Even though when you're that young, the muscles in your hands aren't, you know, fully developed.
Form.
Yes. It's a little bit awkward, but it worked. Yeah, and then when I was, I think about 9 years old, my mom said that I should pick another instrument to learn. And I remember we were at JCE. I don't know if, I think it's Wits Campus is there now.
Yes.
There was a list of instruments that I could learn. And I just, we were sitting in the car, I think after an Ice Deadford. And I just picked the harp immediately. It
you
was just
knew
a
it was
no-brainer.
Your sound, yes.
Yeah.
You knew it was your... But now, did you come from a musical family? Because, I mean, 4's really young to go and say, can I play the piano?
I do. My dad played guitar. You know, guys, my dad played guitar in a band. They called themselves the Strolling Bones.
Oh, yes.
And my mom is a classical musician. She's a teacher. She plays piano and she taught herself cello. And all my siblings, my brother was in a lot of rock bands. My older brother, my younger brother played piano and French horn. My sister drums and clarinet and violin. So it's...
So you come from it. You were born into music.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes.
Yes. And so did you go on and study music? How did it work for you?
I did. I had teachers here in South Africa. Anna Faree, Pauline Nossel, Malcolm Ney, and Kathy Phillips was my harp teacher. And when I was 17, I won a full scholarship to America, to Interlochen Arts Camp. I was there for 8 weeks.
Amazing.
And after a week, I called my mom and I said, Mom, I'm staying.
Yes.
And she said, oh my gosh, well, you know, if you want to stay, you need to get another scholarship because it's obviously Rand Dollar and stuff is
yes.
crazy and I have three other siblings.
Yes.
So I did an audition and I got another almost full scholarship and I stayed on at the academy. And this was in September of my standard 9 year.
Wow, amazing.
Grade 11. And sorry, I went straight into matric and my professor there changed my entire technique. I had to start from scratch.
Yes.
And so I couldn't audition all over the States. I had to literally start from scratch and then did a postgraduate year and then at Interlochen.
Yes.
And then I auditioned at Juilliard and Curtis, New England Conservatory, Boston Conservatory, Cleveland Institute of Music, and Oberlin. And I got in everywhere except Curtis.
Yes.
And I got the biggest scholarship at Oberlin College and was also the professor I wanted to study with, Yolanda Condonassis, who is incredible. She's won Grammys and stuff. And I, and then I went there. And then
amazing.
After that to California.
Now, from what I gather, your playing has always been, you studied classical.
Yes.
Yes.
I studied classical, and then I got a bit bored because I don't like to be like everyone else.
Yes.
At all.
Yes.
And I thought, no, I must learn to do jazz. And so I asked my professor at Oberlin if she could teach me, and she said, no, she can't, sorry. And so I did jazz theory, and it was only in California, at California Institute of the Arts, where I learned how to improvise. And my professor there, Susie Allen, who's now passed on, had a doctorate in free improvisation.
Amazing.
Which I thought was so freaking cool. You know, that the first time I heard an album of her performing with my African American music history professor, who was a woodwind player. So he did saxophone and clarinet and all those things, and he was based in California. And anyway, when I heard them play together, I was just like, this is so cosmic. I don't even know what is happening in my brain. Like how are they just, you know. It's like they're tapping into a stream of consciousness, and it was just incredible. I was like, this is magic. I need to learn this. Whatever I do, I need to get to this professor. I sent her videos of my performances, and she waived my application for my undergrad and to do a master's, and she was like, just come.
Amazing.
And so I went there and, yeah, started improvising, finding musicians at 2 o'clock in the morning at the conservatory, like, come. And then going to the harp studio, burn incense, and, and then just jam and play, and I became addicted.
So didn't the classical, those who had mentored you classically, the people in the classical realm, weren't they, like, almost offended, or that you went into improvisation and a more jazz feel?
I was told that I was a little bit different.
Yes.
Yeah. It was definitely, I don't think it was smiled upon.
Yes.
But, I mean, it's fine because you hop into the world of the other musicians, you know.
Yes,
you just kind
absolutely.
Of go into the musicians who love to improvise and stuff. And then there's, you know, I can still do classical, but my love is... my love lies with tapping into that bubble of magic with other musicians and
yes.
just creating, you know, pulling from.
Yes.
Yeah.
And those conversations that happen while you are working together.
Yeah.
That you never kind of expected. You
yeah,
know, those
it's
musical.
Next level.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, there's so much I want to ask you about your new album, Centered Soundscapes, but I think for now, let's hear a track, and then we're going to talk about it, because let's not share too much yet. Let's hear a track. The album is Centered Soundscapes. Judah Hopstar is with me in the studio, and this one is called Basil. Yes, Basil, like the plant we eat, the herb, Basil Meditation on The World Show. Kaya 959. Beautiful. Judah Hopstar with us in the studio. That track is Basil off her album Centered Soundscapes. You know, I'm going to post a picture of Jude because she's come with all her oils, and while the song is playing, she gave me the basil to smell, and it just made sense. Absolutely beautiful. I don't think I ever smelled basil oil.
It's very interesting.
It's a very interesting smell. Because I love the smell of fresh basil.
Yes.
But the oils, it's more layered, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's potent.
Yes. But now, Jude, what sparked this album of, you call them meditations, each one is a meditation on an oil.
Mm.
Yes.
So I had a friend who introduced me to essential oils. There was one point, I mean, I think it's still like that. A lot of people are obsessed with using essential oils, and I have a lot of friends who use them, and there are companies like Young Living and doTERRA and so on. And it's kind of like multi-level marketing companies. And I thought, oh, well, I love smells and I love perfumes and so on. And so I decided to get some of them, but I didn't want to sell them to people. I wanted to bring my own magic to it. And so my friend told me, oh, did you know that somebody measured the frequencies of different essential oils? And I was like, oh, really? Wow, that's so cool. Yeah. Because I know that everything is energy, you know, yes, so everything yes. has a frequency.
Yes.
And so I looked into it and I realized, well, why don't I compose according to the frequency? Why don't I, you know, match the frequency of the oil with music? But the trick is that essential oils, their frequencies go up into the millions, and obviously our ears can't perceive that. So yes. I had to figure out a way to make that work. Yes. So, for example, basil has a frequency of 52 million hertz. And what I did was I brought it down to 52 hertz. Well, I don't remember exactly 52 hertz or 520 hertz.
Yes.
Either one. But I then, you know, that has a tone associated
yes.
with it.
Yes.
And what I would do is if I had, you know, obviously I have the oil and I would get the fresh herb. If there's an incense with a certain oil,
yes.
if there's a deity, if there's whatever is associated with it, the metaphysical properties of it, I would envelop myself with that before I compose. And so I would channel that yes. scent.
You would meditate with that element, that whatever it is, as you say, both the scent, the leaf, the whatever.
Yes, the whole, you know, whatever this oil, this plant, the flower,
yes.
the resin, whatever it is, I would envelop, I would become it.
Yes.
And then the music would just come. And some of the tracks I finished within 2 hours because I just, it just came to me.
Yes.
And that's also how I compose, is I never ever force anything. All the music that I compose is channeled, because
yes.
otherwise it's not.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Even coming to the world show, I have to clear my energy to enter the show. So
yeah.
I can imagine working with these kind of properties, how intense. And also, in fact, before I go there, just one more thing. You spoke about basil and Indian food. Tell me tell us what you told me when the song was playing.
Nikki, what was I telling you?
You were telling me the basil curries, they often put it in
oh,
curries.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, so basil, they put it in their purses.
Okay.
Yes, because basil represents abundance, which
okay.
is so interesting. So with the journey of composing for all these different oils, I discovered so many interesting things.
Yes. And as you say, you had to go into the history of that plant, into the different symbolisms it's got or where it's appeared, and I suppose that in itself was quite a research journey.
Yeah, and it just, you know, informing the energy of every track. It,
yes.
It was just so cool. I mean, and there's so many oils that I can still compose for.
Yes.
So, yeah, there will definitely be another album.
Yeah, this is volume one.
Yeah, this is volume one. I mean.
No, I love this concept because also, I mean, oils, we use them just to smell it. It soothes you. You can burn it, as you say, in oil and incense. But there is curative properties associated with each oil as well.
Absolutely.
So you, and I'm sure that's the intention for your music as well.
Yes, it is. For healing. So I, what was very important to me as well is, well, so many things, but to connect people with nature again.
Yes.
You know, because you kind of, you see a basil plant and then, like the average person, they'll
yes.
be like, oh, I can put it in my salad or like
yes.
put it on top of whatever.
Yes. Make pesto.
Yeah, make pesto. Yum. But I mean, to connect, you know, because it uses the process of entrainment. So with the frequency of the oil, to then add music that's in that frequency and to add more healing frequencies to it,
yes.
it's like you can become that plant or you can
yes.
become that flower and you can be closer to nature.
Yes. You can become one with that element.
Yes.
Actually.
And
yes.
Yeah, like bringing the plant, the resin, the flower, the whatever, to life.
You know, I can't help mentioning, I watched something, I came across something on YouTube a few weeks back, and it was this woman who's into foraging. Because I'm thinking, you know, what is this? Why is it that we're living in a world where people are going hungry? People shouldn't be going hungry in this world.
No.
We have the ability to grow food. And so this girl, this woman I was watching, she's a great forager, and she's on TikTok, and she does recipes, and you get like pine cone soup and,
wow,
you know, all these things. But going back to what you were saying, one of the things she speaks about, it, she calls it nature's supermarket. Mm. And she says, and the only thing it costs is to go outside. And I love that. And in essence,
essential essence.
Yes, that is really what we need to be doing more of. And these oils, yeah, and this music are maybe a place that we can be inside and yet connect, as you say, to nature.
Exactly. Hence the meditation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's hear another one. This one's Frank Incense. Tell me about this one. Because Frank Incense, for me, it's quite a spicy smell.
Mm.
And also it reminds me of like Catholicism, the Catholic Church. It's a sacred smell.
It is. Well, it has a frequency of 147 million hertz.
Yeah.
And it's a very mystical oil. And it reminds me, and you'll hear in the song, I mean, now I'm putting a visual into the listeners.
Please do.
But I really, you know, when I envelop myself in frankincense, and the oils that I have in studio are of doTERRA, and they are certified therapeutic, what do I call it? Whatever. You can ingest them.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Many of them.
Yes.
So, with the frankincense, I really just, what came to me immediately was the desert.
Yes.
And
oh, that's somewhere else where it does. You're right. It evokes that feeling.
Yes. And the heat. And you'll hear, there's, I imagined camels.
Yes.
And how they're walking across the desert, and there's a bass, that you'll hear boom, boom, boom. And that's how the camels are walking through this desert, yes, in the heat. And, yeah, I love frankincense. It has many, many, many healing properties.
Beautiful. I'm going to smell it while I play the track. Thanks to Jude Harpstar. She's brought the oils so I can smell them while I listen. Her album, Scented Soundscapes. This is Frankincense. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I've got to give you a clap.
Oh, thank you.
Kaya 959. I'm with Jude Harpstar. And, of course, that one was Frank Incense off her new album, Scented Soundscapes. You were saying that Frank Incense is...
It's known as the king of oils.
Okay. Why do you think so?
I would say... Because it's so ancient, and it was used in rituals,
yes,
ancient civilizations, and I just think it's so highly...
Yes, it does have that kind of... I'm smelling it now. As I said, she's brought her oils, so I'm able to smell each one. If you've got oils at home, take them out. We've got a couple more songs. Beautiful. But now, Jude, when you worked on this album, like you spoke about some of the songs you did in one take because it was part of this meditation...
Mm.
It's you playing everything on the album.
Yes.
Okay.
Singing, playing everything. So I produced it at home on Logic.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Beautiful.
I did it all at home.
Yes.
And it's nice because I can create the perfect environment, you know. I burn lots of candles.
Yes.
I call in spirit guides. It's a whole process.
It's a whole ritual you go through.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I love it.
So on that note, did you have like any of these essences that you thought this is the song, or really did they all each come out of that meditation, or did you have like some ideas for some of the smells?
It was very much an in the moment thing.
Yes.
I'm not gonna. I'll reveal, you know, the last track that we are gonna play.
Yes.
What the process was with that. But it's interesting because with Basil, I went and sat down and it was like, okay, Basil is about abundance, all that, and then there was this energy of. It was invigorating and it was very, very busy. And actually, I started the track with an organ and it was very, like, very, very energetic.
Yes.
And I just, it didn't want to flow completely. And I walked away. And the next day I came back, I listened to it and I was like, wait a minute. And the melody came through in this calm way.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, this is it. So.
Well, maybe it was sending you something else. Like sometimes you've got to go through something to get to where you want. So maybe
exactly.
It was sending you that.
Yeah, exactly.
But now you've brought your harp with. I can't let you go without playing us a little bit of harp.
Yes, let me do
play
it.
Play something for us. Please do go ahead, Jude.
Okay.
Jude Harpstar with me on The World Show. Check out her beautiful album. We won't have time to play as many songs as I wanted tonight. But who knows, we might get at least one more in, that's for sure. Maybe even two. The album's called Scented Soundscapes, and it's a completely beautiful experience. It is a moment where I suppose you can smell the song. You can smell the aroma of each and every song. So Jude is going to play some harp for us now. She's just getting everything sorted, and then we're going to move into a little bit of harp. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much. I was just doing a little bit of live on Facebook, so if you want to get an image of Jude, I wish you could carry on playing.
I can.
Absolutely beautiful. Do you find that in some ways this has also been a sense of healing for you, this process of making this album?
Absolutely. It's funny. I don't know if it's like that with other artists, but when I make an album or a song, I don't actually feel, I don't listen to it again. You know, I make it in that process. I'm so in it.
Yes.
And then I release it and then I don't Yes. It's like, okay, now it's for everyone else.
Yes.
But with this album, I've listened to it so many times.
Yes.
Which has been incredible. I've felt like I've wanted to listen to it. And I think it's also because there is so much healing that comes from this album. I tuned my instruments all to Pythagorean 432 hertz. Which is something that I found online, and they had all the specific frequencies per note. So it was like a meticulous tuning of my harp and everything. And I had to tune it a couple of times to actually stay in those frequencies.
Yes.
And what's cool about the Pythagorean 432 hertz is that every note, as I understand it, has a sacred geometric shape.
Yes.
So the way I imagine this music, and it's so cool, is that as you're listening to it, these sacred geometric shapes fly through your being.
Amazing.
You know? And,
yes.
and it's like they go and they go and sit where they need to, and they bring healing. It's like a puzzle.
So we're going into sacred geometry at the same time as smells, as music, as meditation.
Yes.
This is all part of it.
And I also used Tesla's, I love playing around with frequencies and numbers.
Yes.
Because music is math.
Yes.
And the universe is math. And so, anyway, I also used Tesla's 3, 6, and 9.
Yes.
But,
I mean, do people normally, like the way you speak about these, millions of hertzes and hundreds of thousands, musicians are not working this, even as a classical musician. Do you work with this kind of hertz? I mean, is it that specific?
What do you mean? Just an everyday performance?
Yes,
or whatever?
Everyday composing music. People don't go into researching this. It's more about what comes out, I suppose.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I think
yes.
so. I mean, I think it's so, so, so important.
Yes.
You know, what frequencies you play in, and not just what you play, but
yes.
how you tune your instrument.
Yes.
You know, it has an effect. It has an effect.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. From anything, from my Scandi guitar to a harp.
Yeah.
It's so important how it's tuned.
Yeah.
Yes. So what can we expect from live performances? I mean, I just absolutely love to come to a Jude Harpstar show of Centered Soundscapes.
Wow. You see, I need to figure out how I'm going to do that because of, well, you know what I really would love is to have an entire orchestra perform the album.
That would be beautiful.
You know, I'll even rework it because I use a lot of strings. I use clarinets. I use, in my Cypress track,
yes.
I use, I think, an eru, which is a Chinese violin.
Yes.
So there's all these different. It is like world music. There's
yes.
there are all different types of
yes.
of instruments.
Influences.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Jude, we are going to run out of time, so I just want to talk. We're going to play a last song. I'd love to play more, but I'm not worried because I'll play them in the weeks, months, and years to come.
Thank you.
But just to go through some of the essences that you've used here.
Yes.
You know, like as we were speaking, I spoke about geranium, and geranium's got this really flowery sound. And then we moved to lavender, which is kind of connect with your spirit guides kind of feeling.
Yes.
You know, so tell us a little bit about some of the other essential oils or qualities that are appearing on this album.
So you've got, there's so much information. I feel like I have to go look back at my own
yes.
information. So lavender, I think that's got a frequency of 118 million hertz. And lavender is just, I mean, you know, lavender is a very, very relaxing scent. It's also medicinal.
It's an antiseptic, I think.
It's an antiseptic
yes.
as well. I'm trying to see what I...
And peppermint. Peppermint was interesting because it's kind of quite almost structured in a way.
Yes, so Peppermint was the very first track that I made on this album, and I specifically used Tesla 3, 6, and 9, and it was really, really... it was really challenging. Well, not challenging, but like it was an interesting process because it was mostly the harp.
Yes.
And I used my small harp, not this one. I've got an acoustic one, and tuned the harp and whatever, and I layered it. So when you go and listen to Peppermint, the 3, 6, and 9, it's the motive speeds up, and it there's harmonies that come with it, and I physically played every single note of that. So I didn't copy and paste, even though it goes much faster and faster. Yes. It's literally like... Yeah, and I think with just the harp with that track, it's so refreshing.
Yes, it's got that minty...
it's got that minty, fresh... as the album went along, I became more experimental, I guess, and more into a film music sound journey feeling.
Yes.
And I think that's also because one of my dreams is to compose for films.
Yes.
Because I associate music to me is very, very visual.
Yes.
And I guess also, I can, with the smells, I can hear the music of smells.
Beautiful. We're going to run out of time and I want to play one last track. This one is Rose Meditation. Tell me about it.
Okay. This is one of my favorite tracks. Rose is the Queen of Oils, known as the Queen of Oils. Rose is associated with Mary Magdalene. And I have a small... it's not marble, I don't know what it's made of, but anyway, I have a small deity of Mary Magdalene in my studio, and I asked her for the melody, and I started playing it immediately on the piano. It just
Beautiful.
Came to me, and it flowed, and it was incredible, and so this Rose track is also... hits you in the heart. Many people that I've played this track to have started crying. They feel very emotional. And I think that's really one of the essences of my music is to heal people and to make them cry so they can heal through crying.
And not in a bad way.
Not in a bad way, in a beautiful way.
So that you might cry.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us, Jude. What a beautiful album.
Thank you so much,
Nikki. A beautiful concept and experience. Ending the feature with Rose of Jude Harpstar's Scented Soundscapes, an absolutely stunning album. Coming up after this, of course, George Manyosi, so don't go anywhere. George is bringing you jazzed up. Some of the finest jazz in the world is going to be taking you through to the midnight hour. Whatever else you do, make sure that you keep shining.
Sunday from 6 to 9 p.m. on Kaya 959.